Hey everyone, how's it going? Welcome to QA number 175. This is the 175th episode, obviously, is what that would probably mean. So, a couple things if you're new to the live show to know is that this is also a podcast. You can watch it or not watch it, listen to it on Spotify, SoundCloud, and iHeartRadio, and of course iTunes, which I think is where most people are streaming it. And you can do that. If you don't want to watch, you can just listen. You can listen today too. It doesn't matter. And then also, if you're here live and you want to ask a question or start a subject, please start with a question mark first. That way I know you're talking to me, in case you guys are talking to each other, which is perfectly great. Actually, it's kind of what this is about, is having a little spot to all hang out. And what else? Oh, also, and if you're watching the rebroadcast, I take the time to timestamp and index all of the things that we talked about that were relevant, or questions or subjects that were relevant. So there you go. How's everyone's week? Hold on a second. It's weird for me, on a side note, when I'm watching, because I see myself in this screen over here when I'm talking, because you guys can't see my microphone. And the only reason I'm saying that is that I'm constantly worried about bumping into it. So you guys understand, it's right here. So it's out of frame, but literally it doesn't look like it. It looks like there's nothing around me, but literally it's probably 5 to 6 inches from my chest right now in my face. So it's just something I'm aware of. And I just thought I'd share that with you. All right. So what do we want to talk about this week? I have a couple subjects. Hopefully you guys have a couple subjects. I am exhausted this week. It has nothing to do with anything other than I had to do a lot of labor type work, whether it was and it was hot. In fact, the temperature is dropping, cooling down here like crazy. Still was hot. All right. So the first thing is from A. Harris. He says, great job on the guitar. Now, I want to share this with you. I thought we would talk about the guitar today. My wife was so awesome today. She did something for me because I begged her. You're watching this show right now. You can see the guitar that I built. That's the Crimson Guitar Kit right there. It is blue. Okay. In the video I made, it is blue. On the pictures I have taken for Instagram and everywhere else, it is blue. My wife, a very determined woman, she has nice camera equipment, like photography equipment, not video equipment like me, and she took pictures of it and got it. I'd say it's 90% there. Here is the color of the guitar. I'm going to show you. Ready? Yeah, if that looks green to you, it is. It's like a teal green, and if it looks like it's different colors, it is. It's darker on the edges. Now, this picture is still not close to what it looks like, but closer. Okay. One, that's the other screen. Okay, there it is from the front, and there it is from the side. So the reason I tell you guys that is because even though the blue is beautiful, and it does kind of have a blue to it, it's just not blue. And I've talked about this before, where my very layman's understanding of photography, cameras and stuff, is that cameras sometimes capture this colors that are in between colors, the color. And so this is true. I've had this experience actually a couple times now with guitars and the channel, where the colors were so unique that it's like the cameras found the closest thing to it. And somebody actually sent me an email once and explained it to me. I apologize if I didn't retain it. All it matters is that the guitar is beautiful no matter what. The finish is beautiful, but it's way more impressive in person. So I just thought I'd share that to you. But it's different. Be prepared that if you're one of the crazy but amazing auctioners right now, or auctionees, is an auctionees a word? I'm the auctioneer, you're the auctionee. I don't know, I've never been to a real auction. As you guys know, some of you guys might know, the guitar I saw was up to $4,500. I literally, last night when I was being told the numbers by my wife, I'm super, super impressed with the community and all of you out there. Thank you so much. This is literally going to a great charity. Another thing I was going to tell you is I'm very excited. I said in my video, for those of you guys who watch the video, and excuse me if I'm going on a tangent before we get in the QA, that I was going to donate 100% of the proceeds to Guitars for Vets, and I was going to figure out how to do that on eBay or just do it afterwards. I got to tell you guys, there's a cool feature on eBay. I didn't know. I didn't see it before. And so all I had to do was type in my charity. It found it, And then I designate how much I wanted, which I designate 100%. And so I think it discloses that to you. But just so you guys know, from now on, it's probably going to change me forever on eBay. And Reverb, I hope Reverb adopts this. I love the idea that I could just 1%. So who cares? 10%. I mean, you know what I mean? I'm just talking about the minimum, you know what I mean? 1%, 5%. But to me, the idea that every time I sell something, if I could throw 1% to a charity I like, that seems like a really cool thing. And have control of it. Because I feel like if you guys are like me, I'm constantly at places, you know, you get a soft drink and they're like, you want to round up and give to this charity that you never heard of? And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to be a horrible person in line right here. So yeah, you got me on the spot. I'm donating. And I like to donate to charities, but I really like to donate to charities that mean something to me or my family. Because, you know, I mean, it's not like I don't want to donate to every charity, but I like to have things that connect, you know, into things I like, whether it's, you know, causes I care about is what I should say. So I'd rather funnel money to causes I care about. Anyways, so I just thought I'd tell you that. That's a cool feature on eBay, and I hope Reverb figures that out, because it was really, really easy. I mean, like I said, it was so easy, I was actually nervous I was doing it wrong. So thought I'd share with you on that. And again, anyone who's watching that's bid it on that guitar and made it crazy, you guys are amazing. I think you guys all could, I have to eat my words, eat crow again, happens on this live show. So just a few weeks ago, I was saying I'd hope that I just get the money worth the parts I bought out of it. And it's far exceeded anything I ever imagined. I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank you, everyone who's also bidding on the other guitars for their charities. All the guitars to me have gotten stratospherically crazy priced, and just seriously amazing, guys. Thank you. So out there, a lot of you guys really passionate and beautiful people, apparently. So it makes me have hope for the world. So, all right. So anyways, okay, so what else? Anything else before we go to the next subject on the guitar build-off? The review video should be out tomorrow. That was the plan, is I wanted to do it, you know, obviously put it out in three pieces, the unboxing. The unboxing, I now regret for launching it last Friday. The unboxing was filmed August 2nd. And just because I want to explain this, as I did say this on a live show, I never intended to do three-piece videos. I wanted to do all in one video. And then what happened was, obviously, the guitar wasn't ready in time. And I also want to thank Paint Huffer, obviously, Brian and Joe and the guys for doing the paint job. But also for us making, I guess I want to just say it this way. We made a decision that we would rather be a little late and make sure the guitar was right, and that the auction, the charity would benefit the most, then put it out and it just be, you know, like, hey, we had to make a correction and this is not the right way. So, you know, so that's basically what happened. I'm happy about it, like I said. Because again, ultimately, I just wanted to build a kit. I wanted to have fun, do some stuff I'd never done before, and give to charities. And I think that's what happened. So I'm really happy. Okay, so is that enough? I'm trying to think about if we covered all the bases on the build off. Other than I put links down below too, if you guys want to check out the other builders. And like I said, make sure if you want to donate to the charities or crazy enough to bid on those guitars. All you guys out there are much big ballers than me. That's for sure. So it's good on you. Adrian says, are you going to release a video of how the guitar was painted and the gold leaf? So yeah, Adrian, what happens when maybe this is important to mention, when stuff like this happens, I did this video the same way I've done Sharpen My Axe before, where I've had, like Tim at Atomic do something, or, Yoji Locke in Germany, the luthier in Germany. I essentially give them, I have a GoPro, I think it's like the Hero 7 or something, and I give it to them, and that's what they film with. I figured out this way. It's really efficient way of me doing things. A lot of times when you guys see me in videos and I have footage of things, it's because I'll FedEx that GoPro to somebody and be like, film it and FedEx it back to me. Now, a lot of times people are savvy and they can do it with their phones or other cameras and send me Dropbox me the footage. But a lot of times it's just easier for me to say, here's the GoPro. It's got 7 hours of battery life. It's got, you know, 6 hours of hard drive or card space. And then I tell them, please don't go carried away because I have to edit all this stuff. So to answer your question when I edit the videos, there's a process of a tempo I'm trying to keep. So yeah, I have lots of footage, and because this is going to be somebody's guitar, I was wondering what to do with that footage. I'll probably make a very unexciting video with all the footage. I mean, I don't hate to say it that way, but what I mean is it's going to be, if you really want to see the footage of the paint job and me sanding frets and doing stuff like that, like the electronics wire up, you know, it's filmed, you know, the entire wire up of the guitar is filmed. I'm going to put all that on a thing. And then what I'll do is I'll probably send the link to, I'll send the link to the winner. And then what I will do is on one of the live shows, I will let you guys know that I did it. As soon as the winners, you know, whoever wins the guitar and we send it out to them, I will put a link in one of the live shows so you guys can see it too, right? Unpublished link. Or I'll put it on the Know Your Gear channel. That's my second channel that that I created, like a lot of YouTube channels create secondary YouTube channels for a lot of reasons. I created it so I could essentially put stuff that doesn't seem to be interesting to the main audience, but I thought was cool. One of the videos I put over there was I did a tone print for TC Electronics, and I thought it was one of the coolest things probably in my life that TC was like, hey, you want to make a tone print? I'm like, yes, I'm a yes, let's do it kind of guy. And then worry about how the hell it's going to happen. No one watched that video. It was like, when I was looking, I was sorting one day of my videos, and it was my second lowest watched video. The first lowest video was me announcing the winner of a contest. So I was like, wow. And it was like 3 minutes long. I was like, I guess no one really thought it was cool making a tone print. Okay, so the M-Man says, tell us about your new Cherry SG. this is where I feel horrible because I don't... Ah, it's right there. Okay, so yeah, I have a Cherry SG I bought from Zim's Guitars. I went in there and I picked it up. I was talking about something. I forget how it went down, but I picked it up and played it. It's got a little chip in the neck and it just a little beat up. I think it's a 2005, so it's 15 years old. It's got P90s. I always wanted an SG with P90s, and picked it up and I just couldn't put it down. You guys ever had that experience? Like, you don't want a guitar, you don't need a guitar, you're just in a music store holding a guitar, and it's weird. I don't even know how to explain it other than no matter what, it's like you can't let go of it. Right? You go to put it back and you just keep playing it and keep playing it. And it's weird because it's the fatter neck profile. So, I mean, I like that sometimes, but you know, so I traded him. I forgot what we traded, two guitars for it. I traded him two guitars. I know it, two guitars. One of them was my Jackson. Remember my Japanese Jackson, the red one? I traded that to him, which then he sold to Brian at Paint Huffer. See how the world is very small. So there you go. Currently, I thought Brian's painting it, but he's painting something else one of his guitars. Because he's painting one of his guitars, and then when it's done, I'm going to put it back together for him. What to tell you about the SG. I really like it. It's a really good guitar. I think I like it more than my other SG with humbuckers. I kind of feel like I don't need two SGs, but... if I picked one, I would pick the red one with the P90s just because of the way it plays and sounds. It just jives with me. Winged Wolf. Windof. That has nothing to do with you, man. I'm just going blind. I'm in denial. My problem with my vision is I'm losing vision, not in like distance. You know, people are like, whoa, I don't have that. I have this, I turn the lights down. It looks probably bright in here. It's really dark in this room because there's a light on me and then there's a light behind me. So it was dark. Anyways, Winged Wolf 56 says, how about a link to the other channel? Because I can't find it. Yeah, it's so tiny. I'll put a link. It's just Know Your Gear. If you put Know Your Gear channel, I think that's how it comes up. The problem is that my channel is Phil McKnight, and everybody thinks it's Know Your Gear. So everyone's typed Know Your Gear so many times on my channel that Google will force you to go to my channel because it's what everybody searches for. The irony of Know Your Gear is that it wasn't a channel. Obviously, it wasn't the name of my channel. And wasn't supposed to be anything. It was just something I said at the end of the video, and then all of a sudden that became the thing. So, and I had no idea why I even said, oh, I know why I said it. No one's ever asked me. Think of this, 175 episodes, and no one's asked me why I say Know Your Gear. I mean, I know not the meaning of it, but why I start saying it in the videos. I didn't know how to shut up. I would just sit and talk at the camera, and I'm like, how do you end? And I'd be like, okay, bye. So, and then I was like, that's not going to work. And then I don't know, maybe it's just because we watch TV and there's like newscasters or sign-offs. And then I was like, okay, on that note, thanks for your time. And then that just felt weird. So I'm like, bye. And then I was like, okay, that's even weirder. And I'd be like, thanks for your time. Know Your Gear. Ah, there it is. And then I did it. And then I said it so much that people are like, that's the name of his channel. But it wasn't. Okay, so... Oh, on a side weird thing, when I started my YouTube channel, you couldn't name your YouTube channel anything other than your name, because that's when there was a short window. Apparently, the Tone King explained to me, because he's been doing this, you know, obviously since 2006. He said there was a small window when Google obviously took over YouTube, and then Google wanted everybody's YouTube channel to be their Google assigned, you know, the name you have on your Google email account and stuff. And so that's why it was Philip McKnight. Otherwise, I would have called it something else. Okay, guitars for ball dudes. I don't know. Okay, I gotta get serious. I know there's some super chats and stuff. I have a subject, of course, on the tagline I want to talk about as well. Let's see if we can find some questions. Eric the Red, he was the first question today, or at least it looks like the first question today. He says, what's that burn telly? Looking telly, that is my other Crimson guitar kit right there. There's a video to that. I will link it in when I do the index. But yeah, you can go right to it. It's the beer caster. That's why it's got a rusted beard opener. And another reminder, I don't know why it matters to anyone, but I said it in the video, and I think it was maybe quickly said, the rusted hardware on that guitar is encapsulated, and I literally mean encapsulated, in epoxy. Some of it's polyurethane, but either way, it's coated to holy heck. So when somebody's like, oh, you can get a Technish, you know, you need Technish shot. Yeah, there's literally all that rust and stuff. I sealed it all up. It's a very uncool thing to do, in my opinion. You know, nothing's more cool than being cool enough to have a rusted guitar and play it. I guess, I don't know. What I'm just saying, it was kind of silly that I just painted it. I made sure it was sealed. Okay. All right, let's take a look. I got a couple super chats. Let me hop over those things real quick. See what the soup. It says the supers. That's funny. And I clicked on it, and then I click on it. It says they're there. There they are. The first one's from Miguel. Miguel says, just got an Alexander Jubilee pedal and running through a clean Marshall DSL, and I really like the sound. Thoughts on the Alexander pedals and the DSL cleans? Well, I like the... Okay, so the DSL amps by Marshall are actually really, really good, in my opinion. You know, I've heard stories that some of them, you know, break and stuff. I've never had the issue with them, but I've heard it because they sell a lot of them. I really, really like it. I think I said this. I messed up. I bought a DSL 1-watt head that I didn't love, and I bought it the last minute. I clicked that buy button on Sweetwater before I hit. I was thinking about buying the 20-watt, and I swear by this. If I would have bought the 20-watt, I would have it to this day because I really liked it. So, yeah. If it helps, too, I had the Marshall JCM-800 Studio, the 800 Studio, and I liked it, and I had the Silver Jubilee, and I liked that, too. And I ended up getting rid of both because... What I really decided was they're not far superior in my mind to sound. They're different, right? They have different vibes, and they're very cool, and I like them in different ways. But I kind of feel like if I needed a Marshall sound, not the, you know, Plexi kind of sound, but the Marshall crunch, 80s, 70s crunch sound, I can get it out of the DSL, especially at, you know, bedroom levels. And it was a fraction of the price, and then I just didn't buy it. Sometimes when you sell something, you ever do that? You sell something, and you're like, I'm going to sell this and get this other thing, and then you don't get it. Yeah. So that's my answer. Dark Shadow Widow. I think he told me how to say it, and I'd still say it wrong. That's okay. I think you guys super chat me just so I can butcher your names. That's what I tell myself. It says, hey, Phil, I just wanted to say I really enjoy your weekly stream. Great way to decompress after 80-hour work week. Whoa, okay. Your community is awesome. You're a trooper, man. 80 hours. I find that hours are kind of weird, right? The more you work, the worse it doesn't get. Does that make sense? Like, after you cross a certain amount of hours, to me, it's like once I've worked 50 hours in a week, it's not like I go, man, I work 50 hours a week. Like, I've worked 10 more hours than the average. It's just, I don't know. The reason I say that is I feel like if you just work 40 hours, you feel exhausted. And if you work a few hours of that, you feel even more exhausted. But at some point, 50 hours, 60 hours, you kind of, it's not that you don't get exhausted, you get used to it. I don't know about 8-hour work weeks, though. For me, I've took me forever to finally tell myself that there's got to be a day to shut down. Now, I skipped that day last week. I did a half day work day, so I worked 6.5 days last week, but I try to keep my work weeks to 5 to 6 hours. The best thing I've heard is, because I guess I'm an entrepreneur type spirit is what they said. When I read this, it said, entrepreneurs are people that will work 60 hours so they don't have to work 40 hours. I thought it was funny. So anyways, what I'm saying to you, kudos to you for 80 hours a week. And that brings up something else I should have said at the beginning. I feel horrible. See, I didn't write any notes down. I wanted to take the opportunity to say thank you today. Today is September 11th. I didn't want to, hammer on that, but it's an important day, especially in U.S. history. And the reason why it's an important day, for a lot of reasons, but the most important is to say thank you to people that run to things where everyone else is running away from it. And that's the best way I've ever heard that put. People who run to the things that we run away from. So thank you. Because, they say first responders, whatever you want to call it. But I always think of it as the people who are either so crazy or so kind, and probably a mix of the two, that they will run to the things we run away from. So I want to say thank you. So, okay. So, and if any of you guys want to put thank you in the comments so that they can hear that, I'm sure a lot of you out there are EMTs and firemen and police officers and everyone else who responds to emergencies. And I just want to thank you for that. Grumpy Mike says, congrats to all the builders. Absolutely. But yours, wow, thank you. And it says, I love it when they sparkle, and why not? Yeah, I appreciate that. Like I said, I think all the builders, what I really enjoyed about the build-off, for me, this whole thing, the shocker of it for me, was I think everyone did really what you deep down thought they would do. And I mean that in the most positive way. You know what I mean? So what I mean by that is, I thought, when I thought of Dan and Guns and Guitars, I thought he was going to do something crazy. He did something crazy. He was the craziest. I think a lot of people think he should win. I think, to me, if I was going to throw a vote in the wind, so to speak, to me, it's a tough tie between Texas Toast and Dan from Guns and Guitars. And the reason I say that is because Texas Toast, it's the, look, I know how long it takes to do stuff. Okay. That's why I don't like doing it. Right. It's, doing stuff is work. It's a lot of work. So it's a lot of work, what they did. It's crazy off the charts. And so, not only to have the skill set to do it, 'cause that's part of it, but to do the work. And Dan and Guns and Guitars, it was just crazy to see his mind work when he was like, oh, I'm going to take this guitar body and just make a bass. You know, it's funny. It's one of those, I want to say this about Guns and Guitars too, because it isn't funny about Dan. It's one of those, when you saw him do it, you're like, oh yeah, well, why not? But in your head, yeah, now that you saw him do it, but in your head, I would have never occurred to me that, yeah, technically I can just stick a bass neck on any body, right? It's kind of funny. Yeah, in fact, it made me think, like, yeah, what happens if you stick a P bass on a Strat body now? I mean, you can do whatever you want. It was kind of an interesting thing, right? You set the bridge wherever you want. So, very cool. So, like I said, his was probably my favorite for the crazy factor. The Texas Toast was probably my favorite for the crazy amount of work. Now, I'm not taking away from anybody's work, like Big D Guitars and Brad. All of them, like I said, I think they did insane amount of work. And but you know what I mean? You can only pick one, or you can always pick one. And like I said, so I think it's Dan and Guns and Guitars, and then Texas Toast. But I think Texas Toast is going to win. I mean, because come on, man, their guitar is going for like $7,000. That's crazy. They've definitely put a lot of energy out there, and not that everybody else has, but I recognize them as maybe, let's just say 10% above everybody else, and maybe 20% more than me, maybe more than that. I don't know. Everybody was, you get it. I'm trying not to get too sidetracked. Okay. So Roberto has a question. His question is, by accident, I left the Vox AC15 on all day. When I came back, it was buzzing loud. Tech change, power tubes, buzzing improved, still louder than before the accident. What should I try next? So, you know, what's funny is I've never had that experience. I always wondered about that because I've left on my tube amps, you know, for sometimes a day or 2 days. I mean, it hasn't happened in a while, but it's happened. My guess is, this is my guess, and again, it is just a guess, buddy, because I'm not an amp tech. My guess is that it got so freaking hot, something in there fried out, something burned out. But if you had a tech go through and do the tubes, you might have had something burn out as well. And keep in mind, components sometimes can get stressed to the point where they're not shorted out or broken, but they're just fried out to where they're not working as much. That'd be my guess. And then, of course, sometimes it could be in your head. You might be hearing a sound that was probably there before. You know, that happens to all of us. You're like, oh, because you're paranoid about it, because you're paranoid that it got hot. So I would really also consider that too, because like I said, I people leave amps on all the time. So I had a friend. I still have a friend. He worked at Guitar Center, and he said sometimes like an amp would get left on for 2-3 days. And this is, you know, and I'm like, yeah, we had like, I think once at our store it was like 24 hours an amp got left on because, again, you missed it. And then that after that, we learned that we got to turn the breakers off at night. So that's when we started killing the breakers at night to make sure that that didn't happen. Voodoo Fist says two questions. Looking at a Fender guitar online, it says modern deep C neck. OK, yeah. With a narrow, tall frets. Does that mean it has a fatter neck? No, modern deep C neck. So basically the American professionals sometimes call that the modern deep sea neck or the modern. So I like it. It's funny. Deep sea. I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. Deep sea would be like, you know, literally like, here's my hand. This is the sea. And then the deep sea would be, well, you know, deeper. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Let me give you an answer that makes sense. I think the neck is comfortable. What I would imagine to explain the neck to you in a very positive or very specific way, not positive, specific, is that it's not as thick as a 50s Les Paul neck, but it's not as thin as the 60s Gibson neck. So in other words, it's something in the middle of that. I prefer it, and I don't like thick necks. So there, that will help you out. I think if you get that neck and you think that neck's a little thick, then you probably don't like any thick necks at all. And so, but if you've ever had any kind of just moderately thick neck and thought it was okay, this will be not as thick as that. Does that mean it has a fatter neck? Okay, you said that. Also, is there a master link to all your repair videos somewhere? If so, where? You know, that became the million-dollar question, believe it or not, that came up 2 weeks ago. And it started because a bunch of my friends and me were talking about the fact that almost all my repair videos are encompassed in these videos that are not like a directory. You can't just go to that. I do tech tip videos and those go right to it. But most like the Sharpa Maxes and all these weird videos I've done over the time, there's these stuff in there and they're just mixed in there. So we thought about chopping them all out and just uploading them as just straight up things. And do. I think I have a repair playlist, but that's about the closest thing you can get to it. But I'm working on that. I'm working on improving that. Because you're not the first to ask me about it. Okay, hold on 1 second while I drink water. Okay. I don't think we're going to get to my topic today, which is good. It's fine. I'd rather talk about what you guys want to talk about. All right. Hold on. Oh, okay. Ogre Lord 5150 says, thanks for the heads up on the Master 8 picks. He's digging those. He likes them better than the Davas. Great, great. I still like them. I'm looking at my pick thing because I was just laughing. Let's see if it's in my pocket. Nope, it's down on my workbench downstairs. Hold on. Nope. Yep, I was going to say it's in my pocket. It's not. I was going to say I was just playing one today, but then I left it on my workbench downstairs. Okay. Well, you know what? Might as well segue into this. So this is the thing I wanted to talk about today. Did you see there are some articles this week about how the guitar industry has been saved? It's been saved because during COVID, the industry has seen record sales. Fender has stated, that this is the record year of guitar sales in Fender's history. That is absolutely true. Now, a reason why I tell you that is this. Sure, they can all be saying this stuff, but I'm telling you, I have seen what you guys have been buying through those affiliate links of mine, and if that's any indication of what's going on the internet, I am really, really not shocked. First of all, as you know, I told my wife to purge a bunch of my stuff. Now, that was two reasons why I purged my guitars. So, you know, one, the main reason was during COVID, I stopped doing repairs for March, April, May, June, and most of July. So it was most of March, most of July. So 5 months. So for 5 months that I didn't make the income I would make from repair, and repair is still my main income. So I told my wife, I said, let's ditch some guitars. My wife is so awesome, though, that when I ditched, we ended up selling way more guitars and amps than I told her I thought I was going to do. And she told me it was okay to get a new guitar. So I did get a new guitar out of the deal. So it kind of worked out. I mean, it's good. Like I said, you know, you can't get too attached to all this stuff. But what's my point? My point is that basically what I did see, though, which is what really helped, is why my repair shop was down. And why I wasn't repairing anything, or my shop, it's in my house, but obviously when I was not repairing, you guys, like me, were trapped at home. My affiliate links kicked up, my views kicked up, everything kicked up, so the internet really kind of helped compensate a little bit on that, which was nice. So the reason I talk about that is that we're seeing these record sales, and they're saying that it's a combination of a couple things. First of all, you have a lot of people, new players coming to the market because they're got nothing to do. They're stuck at home, and they can't go places now because there's nowhere to go. You know what I mean? There's no Disneyland. It's still closed and stuff like that. And of course, a lot of people upgrading their guitars and stuff. So the question I thought was interesting was, how long does this last? How long do you think people are going to keep buying the guitars? Like, when do you think the buying guitar wave ends? My guess is it's actually ending right now as we speak, looking at what I've seen. Now, I mean, I say ending, I don't mean it stops. It's not like an on-off switch. It's like a valve. It's slowing down. So I'm just pouring some vodka into my water. Just kidding. So, but it's a really interesting time because no one predicted this, right? In March, we were all like, maybe this is going to be the end of the world for the guitar industry. Definitely seems like that way for the music side of the industry, which is another thing I keep thinking. I go, how about this? This is so crazy. No one is performing, and performances. In fact, this is the other thing that's a part of this equation that's so strange. Performances have always been connected to guitar sales. I don't mean as a theory. I mean, factually, we know. You go see a concert and then guitar sales kick up. You know what I mean? We would see it. If there was a lot of concerts come through, we would sell more guitars. It would just happen. So it's really crazy to see all this. So I thought it was just real. I just wanted to share that with you because, like I said, it was a really interesting thing. Guitar Center actually put out an article in our Inside, the Music Inc., the Insider Trades. The president of Guitar Center was saying that not only are the sales really so good at Guitar Center, which we obviously have talked about that they don't have any guitars now, they're actually saying it's going to help them with a lot of their debt and problems because they made so much money. So, like I said, it's a crazy time. Dave says, I bought three guitars and an amp during this crazy time. Yeah. You know what, Dave? I would say that's par for the course. So that's what's crazy. Guitar Overdrive says, what does this say about the whole there's no more Guitar Heroes argument? You know, when that came up, the Guitar Heroes argument, I talked about this a couple years ago on the live show. There was a kid, and I feel horrible not remembering his name. He's got a little channel, And I mean, little, because like, you know, you can tell he's just puts a video out here and there. And the kid at that time, he looked like he was 16. He was probably 25. And he said, you don't need Guitar Heroes because the old Guitar Heroes aren't dead. And when he said that, I was like, yeah, yeah. Like think about that in that aspect. The argument is not, do we need new Guitar Heroes? The argument is, are these old Guitar Heroes relevant anymore? And the truth is, to most guitar players, they're still relevant. People still care about Slash and Eric Clapton and Eddie Van Halen. They're still prevalent. They're still relevant to a lot of players and even younger players. You know, we saw that with Guitar Hero, the video game really brought that stuff back. So I believe that too. But also, I always like to bring up the counter argument, which is, when you ask me who my favorite guitar players are, they're not Guitar Heroes. I love the Guitar Heroes. I love this iconic, you know, plays in front of a stadium and plays guitar, you know, virtuoso stuff. But the reality is, I would go watch music that I like more than guitar, you know, acrobatics. Does it make sense? I'm a huge Steve Vai fan. Never seen him live. You know what I mean? I like it, but I'm not going to go see it. I go see bands, other bands. And again, it's nothing against Steve Vai. Like I said, I love Steve Vai. But I'm just saying, I don't go see virtuosic. Damn, what's wrong with me today? Virtuosos. I don't go see them. I don't go watch those players as much. And then Susan says, lots of creative people doing music in so many ways. It is so in their blood to perform, they can't help but go to new tech and entertain and fundraise. And yeah, you know what? I find that to be true. You know, one of the problems, one of my fears, not problems, I should say, one of my fears is that I'm afraid that a lot of musicians who tour and gig and work are going to find out that they can go on the internet and make almost as much money for a lot less effort. Now, I don't want to say effortless. Being on YouTube, the internet, social media, as I do, is very hard. It doesn't look like it. If there's ever anything that, just like most things, like, you know, like musicians, it's designed to make it look easy. It's really just, what looks like 10-minute video is really 10 hours of your life and tons of a thought process. But that being said, given that I've gigged and I do YouTube, YouTube is a much easier gig than gigging. You know what I mean? Loading gear into a car, dealing with stuff, hoping that somebody will throw money in the tip jar. If you're that level of musician, some musicians don't have to deal with that, but some do. So, and then Eddie said, great, Eddie, I like this comment because I was thinking about this. It says, just wait until COVID is over. There'll be great deals on used gear. This is the other turn of that coin. What happens when they open everything up? And that's what they're, you know, when everything goes back and you can go to Disneyland and go see bands and people go, okay, I'm not going to play this guitar. The only thing I'm going to tell you about this is I want to use the term seeding. In my experience, when somebody buys a guitar, like I told you, the fail rate is astronomical, right? To say 9 out of 10 people that start up guitar fail is a very fair statement. It's it could be a lower number than that, but it's, trust me, it's not below 7 out of 10, okay? So it's probably 8 to 9 out of 10 fail. So 1 to 2 guitar players out of 10 stay with guitar. But think about this. When we surge this many guitars sold to the market and this people try, we're still going to have a bigger guitar community than we've probably ever had before. And that's another thing I wanted to bring up. Think about that. It's going to be a bigger audience than ever before of guitar players because people are so. Shinkadello says, do you play drums? No, I had a Cajun kit and I was going to learn it. And I still have a Cajun, if you guys know what that is. Some people say Cajon. I say Cajun. I don't know. To show you how crazy my family is, my Cajun is on my chair in my front room, or my family room. It's on the side of my chair and I tap on it. they tolerate that. I don't know why. Sometimes I'm not obnoxious with it, but sometimes I'll play it. Okay, what else do we have to say? Okay, let's get back to some guitar stuff. So I just thought that was just me kind of wanted to talk about that since, like I said, I thought that was really good news. I thought of all the downsides of this, you know, all this surge in guitar playing, and what I really think is going to happen is I agree with a lot of statements that I'm seeing here that it will die off and that like a lot of people, you know, will go back to things. But what I really believe is that we'll still probably retain close to the same amount we normally do, but now we have a much bigger number that we're pulling from. So there you go. Okay. What else? Oh, you know what? Hold on a second. I'm getting sidetracked on this. Today, I feel like today's episode, I'm a little scatterbrained, but like I said, it's been a long work week. So I feel a little, like this is fun. You're really kind of just trying to have fun today. I hope you guys are trying to have fun with me. Bill says, what is your experience with or impression of Tokai guitars such as the ES-78, asking for a friend? I've had great experiences with most Tokai guitars. Now, my first experience with a Tokai guitar was a cheap guitar, and it was not good. I did not enjoy that guitar. That was many, many years ago. But the ones that have come through over the years that I've seen are really good. I like them. I've talked about them on my lists, I believe. I just don't remember which price list because I made like five of those videos. So it starts merging together on your head after a while. But biggest issue with Tokai is that it's really hard to get them in the States. So you can get them through eBay and stores like that, but there's no like place to walk in and try them and stuff. But yeah, they're good stuff. My big thing is I like Fujigen better than Tokai as a whole, for what I've experienced. But both are fantastic. Tokai is like, Tokai, Fujigen, guitar companies like that, to me, they're the secret guitars. In other words, like, you know, the people that figure them out and get them know that they have a good guitar. Dan says, I have fret bras on my high E string, only on most frets. Okay. It's a Floyd Rose bridge, no high frets. Do you know what may be going on? So let's understand what you're saying. The high E string is buzzing, it says, on most frets, and you're saying you have no high frets. Well, you don't necessarily have to have high frets or low frets. The neck could be not adjusted correctly. You might have like a overbow on your neck, or you can have the bridge. So here's what I would tell you what I would do. I mean, again, I'm not looking at it, but I'll tell you where you can start. I would start by, you're saying on most frets, but let's determine where those are. So what I'd like you to do is pay attention to the first five frets and see if they're buzzing there. That's one thing. And then, I mean, just will keep it easy for you. First five frets, see if they're buzzing. Then also check the 12th fret up. So if you have 22 or 24 frets, 12 to 24 frets, tell me if those are buzzing. If they're all, both sides are buzzing, well, then we have some issues and we're going to have to address them all. But generally speaking, if your first five frets are buzzing, you might need to relieve your neck. In other words, slightly loosen your truss rod. If your 12 to 24 frets are buzzing, your bridge is probably set too low. That's what I would focus on. Start there. BK did a super chat for no reason. Thank you, BK. I appreciate that. Filtered waters. Very cool. I was going to say, I'm drinking filtered water. Okay, so filtered waters wants to know, should the standby switch light, so he's talking about the light switch on a Marshall lights up. It says, on my DSL-40, light up. Yes, it should light up. And they're notorious for going out. Probably one of the most common things I've seen in Marshalls is that the switch does not light up. So, yeah, you can fix it. They sell that component. That's what you have to do. Take it out and swap it. It just burned out. It's a bulb in there. Depends on the. You know what? I've never changed the bulb in those. I think I just pulled out a switch once, but it was a long time ago. I think it was like one of my friends and I were like, hey, let's fix this. And we just did it. But yeah, that's how you do it. You just get a new switch. CamTube says, hey, Phil, can you do a review or talk a little during this about the Squire Contemporary Telecaster? Opinions vary, but I love mine. Thanks. I really like the contemporary series of Squires, the Strats and the Tellys. I did the Squire Contemporary, really liked it as a video. I would have done the Telly if Fender wanted to send it out, but they didn't want to send that one out. And, you know, I already have a Telly, so there's just certain things I'm not going to pick up just to do the review yet. But no, I like them. The thing about this that I always kind of reiterate to everybody is, when somebody says like, oh, I, you know, like you, let's use Cam's Telecaster. He has a contemporary Telecaster, and it's great. And then somebody goes, oh, they're horrible. Well, you got to understand, first of all, when you make a large volume of guitars and high production rates at a lower price point, there'll probably be a few that are not so great. So you can't judge all of them by how great yours is, and they can't judge all of them by how bad one is they picked up. Like I said, a guitar is more than just, you know, our guitar line is more than just the one or two models. What I will tell you is, though, is the majority of the contemporary stuff I picked up has been very good. And obviously it is, because Squire is the largest selling brand in the world, and they wouldn't be so. You know, everybody's like, when people talk about guitars being cheap, and they're like, oh, they sell because they're cheap. I'm like, well, if a guitar sells because it's cheap, it only sells for a little while if it's crap. It can't keep selling for, you know, forever if it's cheap, because people eventually will know it's all crap and they don't care. So Squire is inexpensive, but it's good. And we know it's good as a whole, as an industry, we know it's good because they sell lots of them for a long period of time. And it's because they'll, you know, they know how to get their quality control right. So yeah, I think yours is great. I mean, I'm not doubting it at all. B. Persky just did a super chat for no reason. I appreciate that. And that brings me over to the other side of my screen. Let's see. Josh said, did you keep the Shiji strap? Still think they're worth the import risk? So, very good question. So, I sold my Shiji strat to get a Shiji Tele. So, and let me give you some insights on what I know about Shiji as of right now and what is going on as of right now. And again, this is not anything other than just what I think I understand. The owner reached out to me, and I believe his name was Dave, and said that they are no longer being distributed by the company that was doing it, Inksy. So when I reviewed the Shiji, a company called Inksy was distributing the Shiji guitars. And that was Moland, and his name was Mo, and Moland. And Mo, in emails, the conversations I've had with him, he's very kind and very nice person. I really enjoyed his conversations. So my understanding is there's some kind of, they have some kind of falling out, not like a fight, but they disagree on, you know, business side of things. And now Shiji is going to be distributed by Shiji. They don't have a distributor now. And so, but they're coming out with a Tele. So he let me know the Tele was coming out. So here's the thing about that. As you guys know, I have a Strat that I love, and the Shiji was great. In fact, I could argue and very easily argue that it was as good, if not better, than my actual Strat. But I'm not getting rid of my Strat. I've had it since 2008. That's 12 years I've had that guitar, my copper Strat. I love it. I play it. So I was like, well, okay, so the Shiji's not getting playtime. When he mentioned the Tele, I'm like, okay, I do like my Tele, but I think the Shiji as a Tele would be a better product. So I said, okay, I'd like to get a Tele. So I don't know when that's going to happen, because he's got to get all his ducks in a row. I know right now they're selling through like AliExpress, and I agree with you. That's the part I hate. I was talking to one of my patrons who reached out to Shiji, and he was trying to distribute the stuff in the U.S., but they either don't understand what he's saying or don't want to, or both. And so I understand. That's the thing that sucks about Shiji, is the way that you buy them is weird, because they sell through what I think is like the shadiest, you know, one of the shadiest websites out there. And I say that because it's not for any reason to make you scared, like don't buy from that website, just because we all know it has a weird, you know, has a weird vibe, because they let all kinds of weird stuff happen. But by at this point, eBay's getting that way too, and so is a couple other selling platforms. But so my point to you is the Shiji is great. There's no question about that. Like I said, I'm anticipating getting the Tele soon, and then the Tele I'll definitely keep, because that's what I'm after, is another Tele. The import risk, it's a risk. I say that because I've heard absolutely nothing negative about Shiji delivering guitars, but it is a risk because who knows what's going on. So as I find out more information, I will definitely share it with you on the show. And I can tell you right now, if I get the Shiji telly and I talk to them, that's one of the things that is important to me if I do a video about that telly, is that there's some kind of clear way to buy these guitars besides just the randomness that seems to be out there. But there you go. Hope that answer helps a little bit. Oaken Wah bass plays bass. Oaken Kwa. I don't even know how to say that. How do you say it? Oaken Kwa. That's just like, I'm okay on something. KWO. Plays bass. I am sorry to butcher your name, but that phonetically is just hard for me. He says, why are P90s never found on basses unless you get some made, bespoke by a boutique manufacturer? Well, there's probably no specific reason why they're not made for bass other than the fact that somebody didn't do it and then no one, you know what I mean? I mean, let's be clear, the bass market, if you're a bass player, then you understand that really, you know, the P bass comes, then the J bass comes, and then the P and J bass literally dominate the market. It's kind of like, it just became the standard, P and jazz bass kind of stuff. So you're not going to see, I'm not going to see a whole lot of risk taking when it comes to bass stuff. That's in my experience. And I've never heard one, so I couldn't even tell you what to say. I couldn't even tell you. Oh, somebody says, dude, I still don't even know. Okonkwo. I'm going to say that's how they're saying to say it. Okonkwo. Shinkadello says, do you still rock out on some eights? I have one guitar with eights on it. I did try some sevens. I don't have any guitars with sevens anymore. That was just a little too easy for me. But yeah, I have one guitar with eights. It's my Ibanez RG 550 has eights on it, and then most of my guitars have 9 to 42s, 10 to 46s, and then I have a couple with 10 to 48s that I like. So it depends on the guitar. Okay, I just went quiet. Always feels like an hour when I go quiet for just 10 seconds. Okay, hold on. Let me jump screens. Hold on, doing both things here. Okay, hold on. Nymond says, what are your impressions on bare knuckle pickups, worth the money? The problem for bare knuckle pickups for me is that I'm in the United States, and people in Europe will tell you that it's the same thing when it comes to like Mesa Boogie. I know I'm talking about a pickup and an amp, but you'll understand what I'm saying. The price we have to pay for bare knuckles in the U.S. is pretty high comparatively to what you can get quality-wise in the U.S. So it's not that I don't like bare knuckles. It's that for less money, I think you can get the same quality here in the United States, for sure. I believe, talking to my friends overseas in Europe, that bare knuckles for them is like it's almost like the same price as Seymour Duncan's and DeMarge's over there for them, something like that. So that's my issue. I have some bare knuckles. What I will tell you is I like all the bare knuckles I tried. But the issue right now, it seems like pickup companies go in this graph of like all of a sudden they're the most popular pickup. We've seen it so many times, you know, with when it was DiMarzio and then it was EMG and then it was Seymour Duncan. Maybe it was Seymour Duncan, then EMG. And then, you know, Fishman, and again, love all those pickups, own all those pickups. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is there seems like every pickup company this is their wave. And then all of a sudden you see them in every production guitar. right? Like, I feel like bare knuckles was like a boutique thing, and then all of a sudden it's in every guitar. Every time I open up a catalog now and look at the brand of guitars, they have bare knuckles in them. And like I said, I like them, but if you're in the States, there is, in my opinion, pickups that are just as good, if not better, for less money. So it has to be because you actually want those pickups. Let's see. Buyers says, he was talking about the P bass. He says, it's the same reason you don't see many seven strings with P90s. Yeah. Okay. Now you guys are just talking about pickups. Douglas says, I missed a super chat. Let's take a look, Douglas. Hold on a second. It is very possible. Is the super chat from Douglas, or is this the super chat I missed? Let's look. We'll look. That's from Douglas. There you go. He wants to know, should I trade my American Pro Strat for a Nashville Telecaster? I've gotten many offers for my American Strat, and a couple have been Nashville Tellies. Well, it depends, man. Do you want a Nashville Telly? I mean, that's the question of the day. I like the Nashville Telly. It's a good guitar. The question is, it's okay, so there's two ways to look at this. If you want a Telly, if you want a Nashville Telly and you have a guitar that you can use to get to it, maybe do that. I mean, is it a good deal? Well, it's not a good deal. It's not like you can't pass that deal up. Your American Pro Strat versus the Nashville Telly, I believe, is a made in Mexico, which is still a good product, but I mean, you know, comparatively for a trade value, it's up to you. Maybe they're like in price, but I don't know. If I was in your situation, I'd only do it if I really wanted a Nashville Telly. If it was a situation like the person trading me had the exact guitar, the Nashville I wanted, the right guitar, then I would do it. But otherwise, no, it's nothing. You'll find that deal easy, or like, you know, you'll find that deal. Let's just say there's many of those deals out there for you. The great thing about having an American Les Paul and an American Strat or Telly is that somebody always wants one. So if you got one and you're going to get rid of it, you should never be in a hurry to get rid of one of those. Somebody's always in the market for one. Manuel wants to know. Oh, okay. Good counter. I want to share some news because we're on the back end of the show. Let me share some cool news. Manuel says, what do I think about Indonesian-made PRS-SEs opposed to the Korean ones? So all of the Indonesian ones I've picked up have been good. You know, and it's been random. You know, I picked up one at a guitar center. I picked up one at another store. PRS sent out a couple, right? The ones I picked out are good. As far as I know, I don't believe PRS is running the guitars through marketing. What I mean by that is some companies I deal with on YouTube, they'll run the guitars, you can tell through something. Like they had them, like there's a tech setting them up and they're sending them out to my channel and they want the guitar to present well. Some companies, like I've told you, they send me factory seconds. Factory seconds are more common than anything else. Most of the stuff, half the stuff I get sent to me to review, It's tough. I had the trouble. I think I told you guys this. I had this trouble with Heritage. Heritage sent a guitar. I did that review. It was a great guitar, great review. But in the review, before I could put the video out, I called him up and I said, dude, I don't know if I, you know, should put this video out. You know, you got some blemishes on this guitar and I'm going to, you know, have to talk about that. And they said, oh, well, that's a B stock. In fact, and then I think it was at like RNA Music. It like traveled. Like they were using it to demo to dealers and stuff. And I was like, oh, well, I thought you guys made it this way. I was like ripping them sideways in the video. And I'm like, okay, let me go back and refilm. Because so like I said, sometimes you have to, you know, you have to be aware of that. They're sending you B stock and that sucks because then you have to go, okay, do you beat them up for the thing that's B stock or do you make the allowance that, you know, they just want to send you something that's defective or not defective, but has defect because, it's for promotion only purposes. So back to the question with the PRS stuff. The PRS SE Indonesia ones I've played have been good, but that segues into something else that I'm very excited about. Nathan, as you guys know, gave me a beautiful guitar a couple weeks ago. I did that video, if you guys saw that video. It really obviously spoke to me in a lot of ways, not just as a beautiful guitar, but more so as a beautiful gesture. And, you know, it's things like that sometimes change you in a way. They make you soul search a little bit. And one of the things about the Sharp and Max series, when I started it, it really was making me feel good to take a guitar and like fix it up and give somebody a guitar that's a little better than what they had, right? And that being said, I go, okay, well, what am I going to do now? And the Sharp and Max things, it was like I told you guys, finding sponsors, nobody's interested. And then I came up with an idea, and it actually had to do with Nathan. So basically, the Sharp Max series, those videos, I'm very proud of them, and I plan to do some more. And I'm currently working on three as we speak, and I've been working on those three. And I say that not like I just started working on them. I've been working on them now for months, but the COVID thing's been messing things up. But the point out is he inspired me to think in a different way, to solve a problem. And here's what I decided to do. I decided to reach out to people to see if they would like to be part of Sharpen My Axe. In other words, helping me do the videos. And again, it just also happened when the build-off contest happened. You know, the reality is Matt from Texas Toast Guitars made a comment that, to me, we talked on the phone. He was talking about the fact that I know people and that, you know, I can, you know, ask favors or call favors to do stuff. And so when he was telling me about that, I said, yeah, you know, he's actually right. I do have, instead of worrying about, you know, what it's going to cost to, you know, get bridges and parts and do modifications of guitars, I thought, well, wait a minute. How do I fix this problem? So the idea was, if no one is interested in giving me funds to help me do Sharp My Axe, who is interested in helping me do Sharp My Axe? And I figured out it's actually builders. Builders were interested. So I've reached out, successfully, by the way, and I've gotten a big brand builder and then some smaller builders who are going to help me sharpen my axe videos. So I will make the official announcement next week. I just thought I'd give you guys, let you know, get you guys' wheels spinning. And I'll tell you what we're going to do and how we're going to do that. But I think it'll be fun, and I'm really excited about it. They're going to be slow to make because obviously it'll be a lot of process, but I think it'll, in the end, it'll be a lot of fun, and I hope we'll all have fun. So I thought I'd share that with you. And actually, so I don't keep you in suspense, I'll tell you. One of the ones that just agreed that made me excited was Paul Reed Smith. So Jean at PRS, I asked Jean after, you know, she saw Nathan's video. I said, hey, wouldn't it be cool if what Nathan did for me, if we could do that for a viewer? And she said, yeah. Now, they can't, unfortunately, do the same thing that Nathan did because that's what he did was not only really cool, but very hard to do. So basically, what I want to tell you is officially, I'll tell you guys next week what you're going to need to do. But what happens is if, in this case, in that one, that's one of the episodes. I plan to announce the three that we're going to be working on because I need, you know, obviously, volunteers for that. But what I was going to tell you was is that in the PRS one, you'll have to have a PRS guitar. It can be an SE, an S2, or a Core guitar. And basically, you have to agree, doesn't matter what condition it's in, but you have to agree that what, just like Sharpen My Axe is, you agree whatever we decide to do, we do to it. We do, you know what I mean? You're putting a lot of faith in this. So if you, any of you out there have an SE, S2, or Core that you think either needs to be repaired or can be fixed up or anything like that, be ready. I'll make the announcement. We'll do a, I'll figure out how to have you guys enter for the different ones. And then so if people don't have PRSs, there'll be different ones in that. And I'll do some of the work and sometimes I won't do some of the work. But what's really cool is this. The cool part is when I don't do the work and somebody else does the work, I'm going to be doing the video here on the channel and I'll be doing the narration and I'll be explaining what they do. So that's the cool part. And then I thought, this is great. This highlights builders. So, and so I'm soliciting the other way too. If you're out there and you're a builder and you want to get your business highlighted on this channel on a Sharp Max episode, you can reach out to me at the Ask Know Your Gear. Like I said, and we'll do that. Now, here's the thing. My goal is to do one a month right now. That's the goal. Once I do that, then it's two a month. After that, we'll have to see, because these are going to be a lot. Like I told you guys earlier, each time I'm going to have to send a GoPro out, have them film the stuff. Unless they're savvy, like I said, then they can Dropbox me footage. PRS is going to just Dropbox the footage to me. But what's great is there's a process now to it. You have to send me the guitar. I do the initial video like I do in a Sharp MX, and I talk about it. And then I send it, in this case, the PRS one. I'll send it to PRS. PRS will do all the work, send it back to me. And then I'll do my summation of what they did and what happened. And then when you guys see it, it's just one video, you know what I mean? And by, when the video comes out, the person who already had their guitar back, and hopefully we'll get like a reaction shot. You know, some people are camera shy, so just, you know, they can maybe, if they don't want to send me a video clip on their phone, they can just say, hey, it was not a horrible experience. So I just want to tell you about that. Like I said, I really have to thank Nathan for that. Because when I came up that way of doing it is like, yeah, so essentially what I'm agreeing to do is sometimes I'll do the work, sometimes somebody else does the work, but I'll do all the editing and film, you know, footage and stuff, and put the video together. And I think that when I was watching the Sharp Max, that was one of the things I liked was the format, the whole, what's going to happen, what did they do? And I told you, my concern was I didn't want to make these videos to be this weekly, like, hey, this week we're putting GravTech ratio and, you know, DiMarzio pickups in it. Although that's great, you know what I mean? That doesn't great make watch. Jose says, oh, my PRS is going back to PRS repairs. I saw you sent me an email about your, because your finish lifted. I didn't get a chance to respond to you, Jose. I was just building the guitars. And so, you know, since I started doing repairs back, I've been slammed, which is really tough because I'm trying to stay within the parameters, all the COVID stuff. But it's good to hear. You know what? I'll follow up in your email tomorrow if it's okay. And I'll find out what's going on. I'm just curious about it. Guillermo says, he says, first time project changing. Oh, Wiggins humbuckers on a Squire Tornado. I learned everything from your channel of your recommended different brand pickups. Another guitar starting on. Oh, so he wants to know, is there any other different brand of pickups? You know, I'll tell you right now, the pickups I like, obviously I like the Angel pickups that came from Octave Doctor. Very cool pickups. I have to say, everything I've experienced from him has been stellar. The other company I think I'm probably really impressed with is Mojo Tone. I know that sounds strange. I think Mojo Tone has been, some of my favorite pickups right now are what I've gotten from Mojo Tone. And so I would check out those two if you're looking for something different. Small builder wise, I don't know what happened. Like I said, the small builders really didn't find my video series interesting. Think about this. I think the only small pickup builder that actually reached out to me to do a video for the pickup challenge was Octave Doctor. And that was it. You know, everybody else was a bigger brand that reached out, and that wasn't even that many too before. So those would be the ones I recommend because I like them right now and I'm using them right now. Okay, hold on. Eddie just did a super chat for no reason. Thank you, buddy. I'm not old, I'm vintage. I just want to be able to buy a custom 24 with the same finish as the one that Nathan made. See, that's why, like I said, this thing with the PRS thing, it'll be fun, but it can't be like what Nathan did. The finish that Nathan made me is a private stock only finish. So the two things that... three things. There's three things. That's why I talk about special. Not only was it just special to have a friend do something like that for me and then do it secretly, no one knows about, but so you know, on that guitar, and I think I talked about that. No, I didn't. I explained all the things I had, but I didn't tell you guys this. So I'm telling you guys now that they're interested. There's three things on that guitar that's interesting. The finish, the stain finish, the natural neck and the veneer headstock are all three things that you can't have done to a PRS unless it's a private stock. So that's what actually made it even crazier was those are all, you know what I mean? So that's what, yeah. I love the finish, trust me. And I know because in case Nate, I don't think Nathan's watching right now, but sometimes he'll chime in to correct something. Nathan did tell me that a music store, I forgot which one in Maryland, did a limited run of that finish though once. So yeah, you can do it only in private stock, but also a store can do a limited run of that finish if they do, if they buy enough guitars. But that's what would have to happen. They have to buy a bunch of those guitar, a bunch of guitars in that one finish. So, okay. B Weir says, hey, Phil, got here late, but sent an email about the Alvarez label. Hope you get it or got it. Thanks for the show. Okay, I'll check my email. So, all right, easy enough. Tony Goyburn says, what's your feelings about when to use neck shims? I've had mixed results. Sometimes it solves the issue, but it also can create others. Send some good vibes to us here in Oregon as we are on fire. Yeah, I'm sorry, buddy. And yes, we send some good vibes out to you. Close to my place right now. Yeah. I saw California's on fire too. You know, yes. So please be safe. And yes, everybody, you know, like I said, definitely put that out. Fires are scary. You know, all kinds of things are scary, but fires especially, because they're so unpredictable and you never know. So on that note, let's talk about the positive things. So there's a couple things. I don't love shims, so you know. And what I mean by that is, if to me, a shim is a have-to thing. If you have to use it, if you have to shim the neck, then you do it. You don't want to. Some people talk about the StuMac shims. They make shims that like the whole size of the pocket, and you can drop them in. I've never tried them, right? Seems like a cool idea. I've never tried them because I still use the same. I shim my necks the same way Fender did for probably 30 years, which is with used pieces of sandpaper. And the reason I do that is because after years and years of pulling necks off guitars, repairing them, you found that a lot of factories just shoved a piece of sandpaper in there. And so you're like, well, let's give it a try. And it works fine. And like I said, at that point, you know, it's up to you guys, you know, what you use. But, and so, you know, I have micro tilts on most of my strats. And if I have to adjust the micro tilt, I'll adjust it. And then I'll take the neck off and I put a shim in there and then I adjust the tilt back because I don't like to use the micro tilts. It's not something I love because I don't like transferring. I don't like the idea that there's a screw pushing a gap in between the neck pocket and the body. I'm like, not that I think that that's going to kill the guitar's tone. I'm just like, that can't be the best answer. It's great in a situation where if you have to adjust that, you can adjust it and get it right. But once it's adjusted, I go ahead and just do something permanent. But like I said, shims are a have-to thing. So it's not about whether in my opinion, it's not about whether I like them or not like them. It's if you have to do it, you have to do it. Harmonic caster. Sure. Harmonicaster. That's it. Phil, Lace Aluminum Tone patents expire in a year or so. Do you think other companies will then make single loop current transformer designs? I'm going to say no. I don't think the Lumitones were a success as a product line. We're not questioning the quality of the product. We're questioning the sales and effect. And generally speaking, that when something is copied, it's copied because it's successful. Even if that thing is stupid, right? So what I mean by that is like, here's what I mean by that. Think about something you've seen in your life where it's like a Pet Rock or you know, the Happy Face, you know, t-shirts or whatever, you know, just silly things. And then the knockoffs happen. Usually people copy things that are successful financially, that make a lot of money. It doesn't matter if they're good ideas or bad. And that's what I'm basically getting at. The fact that if the pickup's a good idea is irrelevant to whether or not somebody will copy it just because the patent wears out or runs out. That would be my thought. this whole industry really likes banking on the fact that the pickup really hasn't gotten any better since the 50s, and let's just all make it that way. So that would be my guess. That's just a shot in the dark guess, though, so you know. There's, you know, you guys might have guesses as well. John says, after what I have spent at Sweetwater in the last past 2 months, the guitar industry is saved. Amen. Yes. Thank you, John. You know, I don't know if you guys were looking at this. I got some point where I was looking at Sweetwater. They were running out of guitars. I'm like, they're not going to have any guitars. Like, I looked one night and I think I was looking and it was like easily 60, 70% of the stuff was missing. It was out of stock. And then they've been filling in pretty heavy now. I've noticed that. Mike Jones has the question that I know is going to be controversial, but heck, why not? Let's hit it. It says, what happens? Okay, this is a scenario. What happens if there was no patent laws and being first to market was the only reward? Would that be so bad? I don't know. Yes, I would. Okay, so I like a good argument. Let's argue it this way. Yes and no. Let me tell you, I'll give it both sides of it, of what I feel. I'm not a huge patent fan, okay, but because I'm creative person, which means I, you know, whether I make content or I like music or whatever, I do like the idea that some things are protected, because I'll tell you why patents are to me an interesting thing, like trademarks. To me, if somebody takes your idea and improves it, good on them, and I think anyone who complains about that, they're a jerk. If I make a product, right, and you take that idea and you make a better product, okay, you improve it, which usually is what, you know, sometimes it was legal, you can get around that. But sometimes with patents, you can't. You can't make a product better. But the point is, if you make it better, that's good on you. If you make the same product and just compete against me, it kind of does suck if you think about it that way, right? You're like, so you have a great idea, you put it to market, and then somebody just copies you. And like you said, you're first to market, which is good, but then everybody's copying you. And so, you know, one of the things they have to keep in mind too about this that's kind of frustrating for a lot of people is it's not about somebody copying your idea and competing against you. It's about 20 people and 200 people copying you. You know what I mean? Usually when people complain about copyrights, they're and patents. I know I'm jumping scenarios here, copyrights and patents, but basically when they're talking about that stuff, it's not just one company, it's our person, it's tons of people, and that there's just too much for that. You know, like I said, I see both sides of it. What I will tell you is this, is that as a content creator, which then copyrights sometimes apply to me, I tend to enforce very little to no copyright. Because of that reason. So you know what I mean? When people repost my stuff, I don't really go, oh man, what are you doing? I created that. In fact, here's something it's not really the same thing, but it's kind of the same thing. I don't know. I'm really curious now to see what anybody's comments on that is. Because like I said, I'm always interested on this. All right. Okay, hold on. Huh? You guys are still talking about how much you guys have spent on guitars since COVID. I'm just laughing because, yeah, I think we all helped the guitar economy, that's for sure. Good old dude says, was your crimson routed for binding? I don't understand the part about the binding. No, it wasn't routed for binding. The binding is the way we did the binding is the same way PRS does the binding. We taped off the maple. So what you're seeing is, what you're seeing is the maple. So that looks like tan binding. That's maple. What he did, which was crazy, what Joe did is he used a gold leaf and he outlined the maple. That's what, like I said, I didn't know he, so, you know, I didn't even know he was going to do that. We had discussed everything else and we put a plan in motion, and then he came up with that on his own and just went with it. So, and, which is fine. So, you know, I had my own issues. So, I could tell you this, Joe, the paint job Joe did on that guitar, and this is just back to that, it's important. The paint job that Joe did on the guitar is one of the best, most amazing paint jobs I've ever seen, hands down. And the amount of detail in it is sick. It's a beautiful guitar, and he did phenomenal artistic level work. And that's what he does. You know what I mean? He just makes, you know, he paints great stuff. So, I mean, you know, that's, like I said, it's stellar. On my part of the job, well, obviously, besides putting the guitar together, you know what I mean, which is just assembling the guitar, my thing was the electronics. That's something that I kind of, I don't want to say specialize in, but I do that a lot of electronic work. I really, if you think about what I do for a living, what literally pays my bills, pays my living, is not setups. I spend most of my time doing fret work and electronics. Because usually people that want that are usually the financially the best customers for me. And the idea that they come in and they're just like, hey, can you fix this or change this or do this electronic wise? Or, hey, I need this guitar to play great and it plays horrible, versus just adjust truss rods and set intonation. But the electronics on that guitar, I should have brought them. Oh, you know what? It's in the final video. I literally had to make so many prototype pickups to figure out what I was doing and trying to get the right sound. And then what happened was, in the middle of this, in the middle of the month, I ran out of wire. I ran out of 42 gauge enamel wire, and my supplier ran out. And then I had to find another company, and I bought wire from them, and they never shipped it. And they wouldn't respond to me, and they wouldn't email me back, and they wouldn't answer their phone. So I had to find another company, and obviously, you know, it's all Google searches at that point, and get wire. And I paid to overnight the wire, and I got it, and it was wrong. It was the wrong description. It was the wrong kind of wire. It was their issue. Their website was kind of vague. So luckily, I put in another order. And the only thing that sucked with that was no one had it in spools big enough. And when I say big enough, I mean, you know, so I don't have to pay so much, because it's a bulk of spool wire. 42 gauge wire is a bulk item purchase, which means the more I buy, the cheaper it gets. You know what I mean? So I was buying smaller spools, which means I was paying double what I would normally pay, which sucked. You know what I mean? Because, you know, and it was definitely because of COVID. I wouldn't have never had to pay double the price I pay for what I was paying if it wasn't for COVID. So the pickup thing became a real nightmare. And I was really nervous, and I currently have three neck pickup prototypes and two bridge pickup prototypes. So I made five pickups to finally get to the pickups that worked out. And then, to be honest with you, I ended up having to go back to like number two on the neck is the one I ended up going with. So I actually made more prototypes so it was a lot of tweaking of the sound. I was really going for the sound. And like I said, you'll see the video why. You know what I mean? And then that wiring, the way I wired it, the way I wanted it, it was just something cool. So again, it was a lot of weird stuff to do on a guitar. But the Crimson made a fantastic guitar. So that's the best part. And hopefully that's the takeaway from everybody, is that you can buy that kit and literally put a guitar together and do it and make a great guitar. Havig says, Phil, is your website still up? No, he says more, but he's just basically trying to see it. No, I shut down the website, I think a year ago. Not quite a year ago, beginning of this year. It was the beginning of this year I shut it down. I still own the domain name and stuff. I just don't have a website up. The reason is because mostly what was happening was the traffic on the website was really good. There was a lot of people going to it. But at this point, mostly everybody was going there just to download stuff like PDFs and just get updates. And I'm like, well, I can just give updates through Instagram and Facebook, and PDFs can be on Dropbox links. So it was a question of, do I really need to pay hundreds of dollars a year for a website when I can facilitate those things otherwise? Okay. Now, before we go, I just want to make sure that I don't have any unanswered super chats. Punk Ash did a super chat for no reason. Thank you. I appreciate that. Tony says, hey, Phil, is replacing a neck on a Fender Strat something that is easy to do myself, or should I be done by a professional? No, do it yourself. A lot of stuff like that. Do it yourself always. And if it goes wrong, then take it to the professional. Right. And if the professional says something stupid, like because you did it, it's going to charge you more, just leave. That's a pet peeve. I try not to have pet peeves. I do. I really do. I never said that to a customer. I would never try to stop you from learning and trying to do something yourself. I get it. Sometimes I'll say a professional, it's frustrating, right? Some of you guys are plumbers, carpenters, you understand, you know, right? That when people do stuff and then they hand it to you, it's a little harder because they've done weird stuff to it. But there should be no penalty for that. So to answer your question, no. If you buy a replacement neck on a Fender Strat, it also depends on the type of neck. If you get a Warmoth neck or a Fender a Fender neck from Fender, you can do pretty good with, what's wrong with me? I'm saying Mojo, it's not Mojo. Who's the other one? There's Warmoth, there's Fender, and then there's another one that's really good that I can't think of. It's driving me crazy. But if you go with better quality necks, usually it's just drop in ready. Just go. See, it's pretty easy stuff. And then Cam says, okay, one more, Phil. He's got one more question. It says, me being a recording artist, I want to ask your opinion on the music industry today. Is it worth chasing outside the love of it? Yeah, love of it. Yes. Cam, if you're a recording artist, if you're an artist, listen to me, and I feel very confident. I would never tell you guys something that I've never pulled anything out of my ass and just throw it at you, okay? So I'm telling you, as an artist today, I think this is the best time to be a new artist if you want to make a living. By the way, All Parts, people are saying Mighty Might. Thank you, Mark. I know All Parts is good too, but Mark said Mighty Might. Mighty Might was who I was thinking of. See, I said Mojo, but it was Mighty Might. So to answer your question, yes, I think it's the best time to be an artist today. Here's why. When they complain that there's no Spotify or Spotify pays you nothing, and when these guys complain that it's hard to make money now, it is. It's hard to be rich as a musician. Maybe even harder than ever before to be rich. But if that's your only way of being successful, then yes, you'll be sad and you'll be depressed and it will never work out for you. Maybe, right? I'm not saying you won't be rich and successful. I'm saying, but if that's your goal, it's going to be a hard road, and I can't speak to that. What I can tell you, though, is in today's day and age, it is possible. If I take a list of good jobs right now, right? Office manager, CPA, I'm trying to think of some average type jobs that people have that people enjoy. I don't know, just right. Think of a decent job that people get and they make a decent living. It is possible today. And I believe it's probably more possible today than ever before to be a musician and make what they make. Where it used to never be that way. It was always top ramen and poor or Lamborghinis and mansions, right? And so the reason I tell you that is yes. And here's why. Because the thing that you can do, the thing that gives you the power, is you connect with people now in a way that no one ever connected before. See, before you needed companies to get you out there. You can get yourself out there. And this is what I remind everybody. I'm going to tell everybody now, and I want to go on a tirade about this. We'll end today on this tirade because it will really help you. Because I learned this, and because I learned this, I'm sharing it with you. It costs nothing to put content on Instagram. Nothing. Zero. As a person who's had to pay advertising for a business, nothing is an insane amount of money to have to pay. Because it's nothing. It makes no sense. Nothing. You can make YouTube videos for for free. You could argue, yeah, but nobody watches them. Look, man, if you make a video and one person watches it, you could, 10 years ago, you would have paid to get 10 people to see it, right? So you can now put yourself out there. And here's what I will tell you. The term that I heard from a friend of mine used, I love it. It's horsepower. Just put that out there. Just keep putting yourself out there. So if you're a recording artist, keep putting yourself out there. Remember, every video, every post on Instagram, on Facebook, you're tweeting or you're whatever the heck's that. What's the other one now? Whatever the platforms are. TikToks, right? You put that stuff out there. It's more opportunities for somebody to discover your music. And then here's what you do. This is what's different now as an artist. As an artist, instead of figuring out how to get a million people to love you, well, back up. I'm misquoting myself because I am talking on the fly here. Instead of trying to get a million people to like you, get 1,000 people to love you. 1,000 people that loves you can support you as an artist. And that's what it is. And then the next piece of advice for artists, right? Whether you're musicians or your content creators. So here's the steps. First, make sure you make content. Make sure you make music. If you're recording music, make the music and put it out there. Put it on every platform that's free, period. Don't even think about it, right? Put it on Instagram. Put it on, you know, right? You know what? Get in contact. Here's what's funny. I to this day, confuses the shit out of me, okay? There are thousands of guys like me creating content, not even guitar channels, just YouTube channels. Your music could be royalty free. In other words, you could license it. You could contact a creator that you like and say, hey man, I have some music. Can I send it to you? And then go, if you want to use it in the background of your videos, just give me credit and links to my channel and my stuff, right? And that's free advertising for you. Now, granted, all that stuff, like I said, is the free part, but here's where the money part comes from in the new world. As people discover what you do, whether that's YouTube videos, whether that's music, what you do is you now have to, it's on you. You create a vehicle for them I'm going to say the word donate, but please understand what I'm saying. You need a vehicle for people to support you. Support's better than donate, right? Because I don't want you to think you're a charity case. You're not. But here's what it is. You need a vehicle for people who appreciate what you do to show you that appreciation, whether that's selling some merchandise or having a Patreon system or selling, my buddy Larry Mitchell's a Grammy artist. He sells shot glasses. I have a shot glass. You know why? Because he's awesome, and I'm gonna have a shot glass anyways. Why not have his shot glass? Why, if you think about it, why would an artist sell a shot glass? Well, because people want you shot glasses and want to support him. That's why. He sells yo-yos. This is true. He sells yo-yos. Why? Because people like yo-yos. And you know what? It's a vehicle for people to support him. And if your only thought, and this is what drives me crazy with artists, I told you this is gonna be a tirade. Every artist just wants you to sell you their music. Well, you know what? Sometimes I don't want to listen to your music. I'm not in the mood. And to be honest with you, like everybody, I can just stream it online for free somehow. So, I mean, I hate to say that, but I mean, come in. My content's free, so I don't know what to tell you. So, in the new world, you let the person who goes, man, I really like this guy. I really like his music, and I really like what he's doing. You create a vehicle for them to support you, and you get as many people to see you as possible in a world where you can. You don't need somebody to go, okay, well, if we sign you, we'll get you in front of people. You can get in front of people. And that's how you do it. And that's the new world. And I can honestly tell you right now, to say a dozen, I feel safe. I have a dozen friends that are musicians. They're not rich. They make as much as if they had a cubicle job somewhere, they make that much money a year, but they play guitar. Think about that. I got chills just right now. Think about that. I got goosebumps because, yeah, I don't know why 20 years ago we were so stupid. We were like, we would make fun of those guys. They haven't made it yet. But now, if you're watching this video and you're doing something that you like doing or hate doing, imagine what you make now if you're happy with that. You were playing guitar. It's possible now. Again, I can't speak to being rich, but I can tell you, you can literally pay your rent, pay gas, you know what I mean? Pay your bills and play music. or make content. So you just, like I said, utilize those things and go from there. So I hope it helps. Mathis just did $200 in SEK. That's what I was telling you guys. Always, like, it's funny because, so you know, I'm really curious to figure out what that is, what the exchange rate is. So it says, but either way, thank you, because it's just cool to see that. SEK, I think I know what currency that is. He's from Sweden, so it makes sense. It says, hey, Phil, greetings from Sweden. Big fan. Do you have any recommendations, opinions when it comes to noiseless single coil pickups? Grew up on humbuckers, discovered the beauty of other pickups, but despite hum, thanks. I have personally, I like the hum, the quiet coils that that Mojotone makes. I really do like them. I like the noiseless pickups that DiMarzio makes, whether it's the HS3s, I really like them, and a few other models that I really enjoy. But to be honest with you as a whole, I'm not a noiseless pickup fan. I always wanted to be. Like the idea, like I said, the idea of a single coil that doesn't drive me crazy with a hum. And I have to say, I've given up, but I'm saying that I've backed off. Like my Strat, you can't see it, it's in out of frame. Let's see. Oh, there you go. That has the lace pickups. In my opinion, lace pickups are still some of the best noiseless pickups, and because they're not true noiseless, they're not really little mini humbuckers, they're something different, which is cool. But still, even then, not in totally love. But so I mean, I don't have a whole lot of, you know, like I said, I like the noiseless from Mojotone, I like DiMarzio, I like these lace sensors. And I've seen some other crazy pickups on the market, but I haven't, you know, haven't had a lot of experience with them. But to me, Phil X did this thing. I did a video with Phil X, and he was talking about the love of P90s. And I always liked P90s, and then, of course, Phil got that fire going underneath, like, oh, I need more P90s. That's why I have more P90s guitars now than I did before. And in that video, if you watched, I said, but you play in stadiums with Bon Jovi, so do you run noise gates? What do you do to cut the hum down? And he says, and he's his hand and goes, I just turn the volume off real fast. And he does it. You know what I mean? So watch the video. It's funny. And he just said, like, I just get fast on the volume knob. And I'm like, all right. So to be honest with you, I started ripping out a lot of noiseless pickups out of my guitars because of that. My Telecaster that I loved, I had the BG1400s, which are noiseless pickups, Billy Gibbons noiseless Seymour Duncan pickups. They're great, but I yanked them out of my Tele and went to Lindy Fralin's Blues because I just thought it sounded a little bit more like a Tele, a little sweeter to me. Although I still like the BG1400s. I like the Lindys, but they're humming, but I'm just fast on that volume knob. So I figure, hey, he's Phil X, he's got to know. So I hope that helps in some way. And okay, and Mike C said, can you hook up two mini humbuckers together to make one big four coil humbucker? What would it even sound like? Never seen anyone do this. The issue, it doesn't matter how it works, because obviously you can technically connect as many coils as possible. People did three coil pickups. Here's why I'm going to say the defunct in that is, and it's probably why the tri-coil pickups, there's a bunch on there. Alvarez made one. BC Rich had one. There's a bunch of people had a three coil pickup. Here's the issue. It doesn't matter what the coils do, and it doesn't matter what it sounds like. The problem is that once you keep opening up the range of what it's how much of the string it's hearing, it's getting so much low end to high end ratio. In other words, it's too big of a field. It just starts getting muddy after a while. So that's what I would imagine. It just sounds muddy. Think about it. But on a side note, Mike, here's a thought. When you have a dual humbucker guitar, and you put it in the middle position, you have your two humbuckers. Essentially, what you have at that point is exactly what you're saying. You have four coils, two humbuckers wired together. They're working together. I mean, they're in the line together. Whether they're connected to each other or not is irrelevant. They're still on and all working. So that would be the sound you're talking about. So the question would be, if they're spaced this way, your argument would be, or your thought would be, like, let's put them next to each other. And, you know what I mean? It wouldn't be... It's like I said, so it's an interesting idea, but in my mind, you could probably take three humbuckers, six coils, and wire it all as one big pickup. I don't think, like I said, I don't think there's a limit to how many coils you can start wiring together. You know what I mean? So, of that. but interesting idea. And then Matthew Spencer's our final one today, and he says that, what does he say? He says, greetings from Korea. What do you know about Korean-made Fenders with Fender on the headstock rather than Squire? I have seen a few over here. Yes. So Fender does make a few. Now, the ones you're seeing might be different than the ones I've seen, but I will tell you this. There is, obviously, they did the Showmaster stuff, and which is a Tele and a Strat, which is a set neck Strat and Tele made in Korea. But also, I have seen, like you, I've seen many Korean-made Fender guitars, but almost all of, well, not all, the majority of the Fender, labeled Fender guitars that I've seen with made in Korea usually have some kind of, like SoCal, the SoCal Strat, I think was made in Korea, I believe. And it's usually some kind of promotionary thing. So like, so you know, what's happened in the past, what I've seen is that a company, let's say Budweiser or SoCal, which is, you know, a race thing in California, and companies like that, you know, I'm trying to think of other references, Coca-Cola, Warner Brothers, right? Companies like that might go, hey, let's make, you know, 50, whatever, guitars, and Fender has the Korean factories over there do the guitars. So that's what I've seen. Now, again, you'll see other stuff, because that's the thing about Fender too. They have specific guitars for certain countries too. So sometimes you're seeing stuff that us here in the States isn't going to see. But I've seen many Fender. So to answer your question this way, I have seen many Fender guitars that are labeled in Korea. And usually it's some kind of limited run, except for the FMT and, you know what I mean, guitars, which are the set necks. Those are the only production ones that I see currently. But in the past, they've done all kinds of stuff. So they've, just like there's made in Japan Fenders, Fender just sometimes outsources to other factories. And then Frederick says, hey, Phil, what's your favorite amp? The Princeton. I mean, the Dirty Shirley. I'm looking at right now. The Dirty Shirley and the Twin Sister, which is what I have over here in the corner. I'm obviously in love with those amps, mostly the Twin Sister, the bigger. I've definitely decided that I like the bigger 40-watt Dirty Shirley over the 20-watt. Love those amps, but you said favorite. It's going to be my Fender Princeton, to the point where I have two of them, one in each room. I keep one in my bedroom and one in here in the office. And I mean, one has a 12-inch, so you know, they're slightly different from each other, but they're the same amp. And I don't know why. I can't tell you. It's just it's an amp to me that it ticks all the boxes. It's not crazy expensive, right? So it's not crazy. It's not, it sounds good, quiet. Man, God, does it sound great. I can just sit there and play. And my issue with amps, so you know, a lot of players, when they're talking about amps being quiet, they're like, oh, I can't get the amp to break up, be distorted quiet. I don't really care about distortion quiet. I figure that I can play a metal zone at whisper and not care. At that point, I don't care what I'm hearing. I'm playing quiet. To me, it's like, how do I get the clean sound to sound amazing, really quiet without being thin? And the Princeton does that for me. It's fat. Also should put out, I play the 68 reissue Princetons, which are modified Princetons. So they're kind of not very Princeton-y. They're a little bit. The reason I say that is because somebody was telling me they had the 65. I like that one too, but I have two 68s. All right. On that note, we're going to call it. We did almost 2 hours. So we're at we made it. We did another episode. So, hold on. whatever you guys are talking about, Dumbles. Somebody's like, Dumbles suck. I don't know, man. That's an amp that I can't afford. I can't think about affording. I've played one Dumble. I don't know if I told you this. I got to put my hands on one Dumble for the first time. And I plugged in. And my first impression was I didn't like it even as much as a Hot Rod Deluxe. And I thought, wow, what is wrong with me? Something's wrong with me. And then the more we messed with it, the more I'm like, oh yeah, it's really, really cool. But to be honest with you, a friend of mine who's really a really masterful amp guy told me that Dumbles, not all the same. They're all tweaked to each individual guitar player. So if you played one Dumble, you definitely haven't even played close to anything. You know, they're all different. So I don't know. Like I said, But I was happy. Here's why I was happy. I was happy, not because it was like hype or anything. I was happy. I was like, man, I'm so glad I don't like the thing I can't afford. So, all right. On that note, I want to let you guys know that if you want to donate to the Guitars for Vets charity, I put the link down below. You can click, I guess you can go to Crimson Guitars and donate to the charity that way as well. But me, I don't really care how you do it. If you just go, I just put the Guitars for Vets, just if you want to donate to them, I appreciate that. Like I said, I'm very lucky to have you guys help me raise all this money for them. And it's like I said, it's an organization that I really, really like supporting. And I appreciate you guys supporting me for supporting them. And on that note, I'm going to let you guys go have a great weekend. And you'll see the number three, episode three is just the review of the guitar, just to give you the sound samples and stuff. And I would say go bid on the guitar, but it's pretty crazy right now. And if you are bidding on the guitar, man, you are amazing. And keep in mind, don't forget to go vote for the guitar that you like. And I put all the links to all the other builders. And maybe next week, if you guys want to know, I'll let you know who I voted for. Obviously, I didn't vote for myself, so I'll let you guys know. Maybe I should wait until after somebody wins to tell you who I voted for. I don't know how that works. I don't want to, taint the pool or whatever. All right, guys. Continuous Bone says YouTube is all I can afford. Man, you know what? Doesn't matter. Literally watching, liking, and subscribing, believe it or not, it's more powerful than anything else, and it means more than anything else. And so thank you for that. So, and then Zazzy says it's at 45.50 now. That is crazy. So like I said, trust me, at one point, you can imagine when I finished it, I was like, man, maybe I want to buy this. And then I was like, nah, that wouldn't be ethical. And then when it started going up real fast, I was like, well, I'm priced out of it anyways. So, all right, guys, you have an amazing weekend. Enjoy it. And as always, thank you so much for your time. And...